So I'm Lisa Ghirardelli, and I'm going to speak with you about some message platforms or appeals that we've been working on to see if they resonate with low-income SNAP-Ed audiences for obesity prevention. And I'm with the Network for Healthy California. We're a statewide program, and I'll give you a little more background about that here in California. I've had some great collaborators on this project. Larry Bai, who works for the National Opinion Research Center, which is, they have an office here in San Francisco, but they're out of Chicago. And Sue Forster, who's here with us today, Sharon Sugarman, and Lex Mattini. I have no disclosures. You know, if there were financial lucrative financial relationships I'd had, I wouldn't be in public health. So who are we? We are the Network for Healthy California, and we're building our brand. We switched over between 2006 and 2007. We used to be five a day, and I know, how many of you remember five a day? Pretty much everybody. So when the recommendations changed, we move over to a new brand and became the Network for Healthy California and Champions for Change. We have a large social marketing campaign. We send out, we have a lot of cookbooks, we have materials, we have events, we have all kinds of things going on the ground. And we also have an ad campaign. In the past, we've done some direct mail to nearly 600,000 households, sending out DVDs, all kinds of different messaging with our Champions for Change brand and our messages. We've done advertising campaigns for many years, but I'm just going to give you a little brief overview of some of the more recent ones. 2008 to 2009, we did the ownership campaign. We had TV, radio, and this is when we did the direct mail marketing. We have outdoor, we do catering trucks, and then we've also done transit TV, which is like on the buses in Los Angeles. This is a picture of our outdoor campaign. How many of you have seen some of our billboards in California? Yeah, a lot of us. So we are really out there, and this year we've been doing our advertising campaign on what we call What's Harder. And so I'm going to show you one of our TV spots, if I can make this work here. Let's see. It's not letting me go to it. Let's see. Let's try this. Okay. All right. So our ads are about 30 seconds, and we're very targeted in how we get our ads out, and they go to specific stations and specific times that we know are going to reach our target audience. And also our billboards and other materials, other marketing materials, are very targeted. We are really trying to focus on low-income audiences because that's our target, and it's specifically mothers of school-aged children. So hopefully this will come up now for you. It's not rolling. All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to bail on that. So I'll go back to our presentation. So this is our campaign right now. We've also done some internet ads now, and so we're really excited about getting into a new medium. To evaluate our campaign, though, we do a survey with our target population, that's the mothers of school-aged children. We do 1,000 telephone interviews with SNAP recipients, and we get a list from Department of Social Services to get our contacts there. And we also do 1,000 interviews with a very low-income population. So these are not SNAP recipients, but they're eligible for SNAP. We also do about 600 interviews with low-income mothers that are between the SNAP eligibility and the WIC eligibility, because that's still our target audience. And then we also do a comparison group of about 700 random digit dial samples for general population to take a look at that as a comparison. We do a CADI, or computer-assisted telephone interview, for the SNAP recipient sample. And then for the SNAP-eligible sample, we actually go to shopping malls and low-income census tracts because this population is really difficult for us to find. We have raised ethnic quotas for our in-person interviews so that they're balancing sort of what our target is and our demographics for that target. These are some findings of our aided recall of our campaign ads. These are for any of our ads. These are for any billboards, any of our radio ads, our television ads. And you can see we actually have a pretty high aided recall. But what's been really interesting for us is that we had kind of a unique year in 2011. We had no ad campaign running because we had some contracting scenarios where our ads weren't approved and we didn't have things running. And so we kind of took it as an interesting time to take a look at what does happen, what are our messages resonating, are people remembering our ads when we have no ad campaign running, and we found really high levels of recall. And so we kind of questioned this and we said, wow, our messaging must be really resonating, but we also said, well, maybe there's a little bit of misattribution there as well. We're very specific on how we ask about our ads and how we do our recall, but there are still the potential with all of these other campaigns out there, with Thrive and with the Michelle Obama's initiatives. And so there is the potential for that, but regardless of that, we're seeing very high recall rates. Also, we've been doing some more targeted analysis of our survey findings, and we're really finding some exciting things with our consumption behaviors, showing that this high ad recall does appear to be related to personal and family fruit and vegetable consumption, which is super exciting for us. Also, that the ad recall is related to self-efficacy for personal fruit and vegetable consumption, as well as for family self-efficacy, for physical activity, and for actual physical activity behaviors. So these are really exciting findings for us as we have been diving deeper into our survey results. But at the same time, we have remaining questions. So what are the messages that resonate? And what if we took away our production features, if we took away all of our emotional values? What are the underlying arguments that are really resonating with our target population and potentially drive our behaviors or predictors of those behaviors? And can we compare the reasons for these arguments for the target population to engage in obesity prevention? Can we compare what they look like among our target? And what are these compelling arguments, and how can they inform our social marketing campaigns? And, you know, we do focus groups before all of our campaigns go out, but there's sometimes you get these group dynamics that, you know, you can't answer some of the questions you really want to answer when you do focus groups. So we came up with a new research design for some formative research. We're doing a quasi-experimental design. We have 400 participants. We randomize our message delivery, and we have a pre- and post-test. And then we do an exposure. So it's pre-test, exposure to some message platforms, which I'm going to tell you about in a few minutes, and then a post-test. And our desired outcome measures are intention to perform the desired behaviors we want, which is increased fruit and vegetable consumption, decreased sugar, sweetened beverages, and decreased fast food. And we have a qualitative component to our results. So to develop our platforms or our appeals, we went to framing theory. We went to this Entman's idea of how to structure our message. So you define the problem and raise the salience, really get people interested in why it's important, make a moral judgment, and then suggest remedies. So this was kind of the frame and the structure for our testing of our exposure. We also drew from framing in journalism. And so this is interesting that you've got two different perspectives on what framing actually is. So there's framing in psychosocial theory, but there's also framing in journalism, and they use it in a different way, that message frames are really episodic, or which is personal responsibility attribution, versus thematic, which is societal or related to the environment. So we drew from journalism, we drew from Entman's framing theory to create these why for our target receivers to make the changes that we want them to make. But we also pulled in some other health behavior and psychology and communication theories as well. And this is Fishbein and Campella's model of integrative behavior change, and we drew from that to create and decide which were the arguments we wanted to test. So you'll see that frame one is our outcome evaluation frame. And we made that one sort of a social justice argument. Frame two is more of a normative argument. So join the movement, get on the bandwagon, and really get it going with our movement in making changes. And then our third frame was control beliefs, that you have control, that you need to be parents and protect your children, so parental protection. I know this is a busy slide, but this kind of gives you an idea of sort of how we set up our arguments. For the social justice appeal, thank you. For a social justice appeal or the thematic or societal cause, we used a newscaster to really raise the salience and look at, well, there's a lack of foods in low-income neighborhoods, talk about food deserts and unsafe places for families to play. The moral judgment was a talking head, so it's a female who was a multicultural female, and she talked about the residents have the right to access in these low-income neighborhoods. And then the remedies at the end of the message are basically text slides with a voiceover. So there's no person that's connected to it to bring in credibility, or there's no production. So we're really getting down to what are the arguments and what are the messages we want people to act upon. And for this appeal, this is that community groups can get together and residents can make changes to bring healthy food to the neighborhood. So the social norms appeal, we kind of combined a thematic and episodic frame, so an individual and a societal message, and a normative message as well. And we, again, used the same structure with the newscaster, the expert female for the moral judgment, and then the text slide with the voiceover. And the arguments were really to think about that there is a problem, but many low-income neighborhoods are putting in farmers markets and doing things in their communities. The moral judgment was that people need to join this movement and see the need to make personal changes and community-wide changes. And then this remedy or the recommendations were that, you know, to get together and join the movement, and other moms are doing things together to shop and prepare healthy foods. The parental protection appeal was really focused more on individual causation. So with, again, the same structure and thinking about parents want the best for their kids and that kids are at risk for obesity, the moral judgment was that more families need to take control and have healthier lifestyles, and they must protect their family. And then the final remedy was that parents can be gatekeepers and that they can get active with their kids, and it's really important for them to protect their family. So I really would like to have actual results, but we were planning to be in the field in July, but we didn't get into the field until September. But I have been able to pull some preliminary results, and what we're finding is actually really interesting, that it kind of goes along the lines of what we have been finding from our focus groups, that the societal or social justice argument is really difficult to convey. People have a hard time with this, and they don't understand what it means. They really still continue to go back to the individual frame and the individual family perspective, and that is really what they're getting out of that message. The social normative message was very well received, but again, people still keep going back to that individual perspective. And so when I've been looking at some of the qualitative findings to see, well, what are people getting? Are they understanding the message? And the one frame that they really understand is the parental protection message. And that's kind of seeing what's bubbling up in preliminary findings and our qualitative findings to be the one argument that people really can understand and glom onto. So I just want to read to you a couple of our comments from our qualitative results, and we have questions like, what do you like about the video, or what do you like about these messages? Also finding out what the main message is, and with when we ask them what they like, we have comments like, there's a lot more of the community being involved, and that childhood obesity is being taken more seriously. This is from the social justice argument, and then the other one that I wanted to bring to you was that one person said, I liked everything, but what I didn't like is that this is the reality, that our communities don't have farmers markets. So these messages are very compelling to them. Also, if they ask, we ask them what the main message is, we get things like to get together with family and friends and learn and share healthy eating habits, to make more fruits and vegetables available to the children. But the main piece is that we're really getting this sense of that people are shocked by some of these issues, that they're really didn't realize what some of the issues were, and also to they're really surprised, but they see it as a positive message. And so that's what I think is really amazing about learning from these message platforms and the study that we're doing, is that we're learning about what are the messages and how they're compelling. So thank you very much, and look forward to your questions later.